What do you do? Discuss, consider, think about the conspiracy this morning that's going on. It involves governing authorities in this country as well as in other countries. It involves the medical industry as well in this country and other countries. What do I mean by conspiracy? Is that some kind of crackpot idea about a couple of groups nefariously planning something? Yes and no. Basically, a conspiracy is when there people come together or work together or at the same time are working toward bringing about something unlawful or that which is contrary to what is true. I could talk about a number of things this morning. One could be the abortion issue. But I'm talking about the gender issue. I'm using strong terms because this is a serious, significant, life-altering, with irreversible consequences for men, women, young in particular. And just think about it. Our government and much of the medical industry in this country as well as in other countries are telling us that what is biologically fact is irrelevant. That gender is decided by you, even if you're 13. How many of us ask a 13-year-old, what do you want to do for a career? And when they answer, we say, okay, you are now locked into that till death do you part from this life. We don't do that. And it's not just them saying that gender doesn't matter. They want to tell you what language to use. If someone says, I'm them, you call that person them. If he says he's a she, you call she. Because after all, science doesn't matter. But it's gone farther than that. We're recruiting in our public schools young children to be a part of and for this whole gender delusion. Now, those who are a part of it, I want to say now and before we end, they are not to be hated any more than you should hate the 13-year-old you were to see on the side of the road with track marks in their arms. And after all, what's the argument? If choosing a different gender than the one assigned at birth makes you happy, what's wrong with that? Yeah. So, if that which leads to track marks makes you happy, what's wrong with that? How about multiple spouses? What's wrong with that? How about a 40-year-old and a 14-year-old? Oh, and if biology doesn't matter, I really like my golden retriever. You laugh, in India, people marry cobras. And this is not new. In the wilderness, Israel had to be told. It is unlawful for a man to have relations with a man as he would with a woman. Or to lie with an animal. They had to be told that. Do you think this is new? This is not new. It also means there's hope, as there always has been. But this is no joking matter. I'm jumping ahead in our study through Genesis because today, across Canada and the U.S., pastors are preaching on biblical sexuality. Because a week ago in Canada, a bill was passed that will become law in just a couple more weeks that makes conversion therapy illegal. So what's that? Well, trying to talk someone into accepting their biological gender they were assigned at birth. It'll be illegal. Can't do that. There's already laws connected to that, and I found it kind of confusing as we're talking about what's going on in Canada as if it's something new here, but there's already been legislation passed in this state, and they're working on more to the same end. You cannot talk a person into reversing their decision to reject their birth gender. Now, just a couple of hypocrisies in that. The public school teachers have been caught discussing how they secretly get school-age kids to be a part of the whole transgender delusion movement. And then what about this? I mean, let's think about it. Right? Unlike Rich, I have hair on my face. I'm clearly a male. Can I now choose to be a female? And if I can do that, then I think I've decided I'm part Samoan and I'm built like Dwayne Johnson. Actually, no. I really identify with the Aboriginal men of Australia. Or a very tall black man from the continent of Africa. Here's the irony. I have more genetically in common with any of those men just mentioned than I do with a white woman of, I'm a mutt, so let me think about this again, mostly English and Irish and a little bit of German descent with similar color hair and the same color eyes. And yet, our governing authorities are not only saying you can choose your gender, but they have in Canada, they're trying to hear, they're going to make it illegal to tell someone, no, you are what you were born. Another little aside here. If our government's lying about this, what else are they lying about? Guess what? We don't have to concern ourselves with that. Scripture does not call us to trust the governing authorities. It calls us to submit to them. And their role is to uphold and reward what is good and punish what is evil. So then our job becomes discerning through that. Because governments in Paul's day, in Jesus' day, in our day, and in every country will inevitably take a wrong turn in one area or another. And we don't get to therefore throw off all restraint and say, I'm not paying my taxes and I'm not submitting. No, that's not the issue. But we should be very suspect. Especially when something should be so obvious. Matter of fact, it is so obvious. Richard Dawkins. Who knows who that is? Who knows who Richard Dawkins is? Evolutionary biologist, anti-creation, anti-intelligent theory. Well, you know, he's getting sidelined because he has called for people to sign a petition to uphold women's rights based upon their sex, their biological actual sex identified at birth. Oh, he's just trying to get attention because he hasn't been in the limelight. Now all of a sudden they're trying to debunk him because he's saying that. Why is he saying that? It's not because he acknowledges God or gives thanks to him, but by the common grace of God, he understands that 1 + 1 = 2. And there are areas in life with which relative thinking and deciding things based upon feelings absolutely do not apply, and it does not work. I want to cry right now. I'm not angry at our government. I'm not angry at the medical industry. I'm not angry at the young people walking around texting other young people, yay, I got my hormone transition meds today. This is no joke. you won't find in the news is stories of women who will tell you now they clutch what should be their chest and curl up in a fetal position and cry themselves to sleep every night. And that adolescents should not be allowed to undergo experimental drugs, let alone irreversible operations. That's our reality. It's no less perverse, sick, and sad than the abortion issue. See, the abortion issue, it affects less. The gender issue, it is slowly, actually quickly, affecting everyone. Oh, you don't want to make a wedding cake for a same-gender wedding? There goes your livelihood. What? You Twittered or tweeted or whatever it is, or posted or blogged, or you were recorded, saying that men and men are women based upon their biology? Well, forget about your job. And meanwhile, while conversion therapy is looked down upon, if not illegal, through the public school system, children are being told, this is good. How do you get there? Well, it's easy. If a microscopic speck containing all mass energy somehow came into existence and almost immediately exploded, then our meaning and our purpose and our existence is determined by us. And we can choose to determine it based upon biology, observable realities. We can decide based upon feeling. That is the situation we are in. And there is an actual conspiracy. It's not just in this country, in Canada, in Europe. Something that you would think would be ever so obvious. Being said, that's not what it is. That's not true. That's not reality. And if you disagree with us, watch out. You know, you better lose your livelihood and end up in jail. And have young ones, or any of any age around us, taking feminizing and masculinizing hormone meds, or getting irreversible operations that will not even bring about what they are after. Look it up yourself. Go look up feminizing, masculinizing hormones, side effects, what it offers, and the Mayo Clinic. Oh, right, the one that we bow down to. 10. They both, either one, can bring about a greater sense of happiness and relief from gender dysphoria and greater pleasure in physical intimacy. Can. No, they can't. On the flip side, not even understanding and embracing your gender by birth and living to be married and have kids can't make you happy. What's the difference in those two, however? The physical suffering, the pain, and the fallout from those two different choices. But at the end of the day, that's where we'll end this morning. At the end of the day, neither of those, in and of themselves, can make us happy. Not even in following God's design. But going against it? Guarantees heartache, hardship, suffering. I'm going to read from a portion of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 in a moment, focus particularly upon the fact that we are created male and female in the image of God. And then readdress that issue. But wait, but what if it makes you happy? And again, whatever that it is, that it is not knowing God through Jesus Christ, you won't be happy anyway. You won't know joy and peace anyway. Join me in prayer. Father, while there is nothing new under the sun, that which is evil, that which harms those made in your image, particularly women and children, is being enforced in our day and age. Father, we are so increasingly saturated with the proclamation that choosing your gender and sexuality is good, we would be fools to think that we've not been affected in our thinking. Father, grant us clarity. Grant us the humility to accept that we have been created. Grant us the faith to not only accept your design and your ways as far as gender goes, but for accepting the way that you have made to know you and call you Father, to believe in your Son, born of a virgin, a woman. He lived sinless and died for the sins of his people. Father, grant this to our blessing, that we would not be caught up in the confusion and the delusion, that we would lovingly, even at the risk of legal ramifications, counsel humbly and gently those who are struggling with this issue. And that through that, Father, we would be doing exactly what we get to do, no matter where and when we find ourselves if we're Christians. We get to proclaim your excellencies, your glory, your grace in Jesus Christ. Grant this, Father, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jumping way ahead from Genesis 1:1, I'm going to pick up in Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. I jump ahead now to chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord, that is Yahweh God, said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, Yahweh God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature. That was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up in its place with flesh. And the rib that Yahweh God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Back to 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." 1:27, so God created man in his image, in the image of God. Verse 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Note two things here. This section, we just skipped ahead, so this isn't going to be as obvious. But it doesn't say, "Then God said, let there be." Which is what he said on every other day about everything else he created or made from what he created. The plants, the animals, let there be. Light, let there be. With man, let us make. And then it doesn't say, let there be, and each one after its own kind, if you were to read back in chapter 1. What comes next isn't that, after its own kind, but let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We'll get to what image and likeness mean in a moment. But do you see the difference there, without having taken you through the other days? And the other creations, you look back at that yourself. That is a monumental difference. It is not the impersonal, let there be, and after its own kind, but let us make in our image, in our likeness. That is why we have dignity. Why we have value and worth. Now, we are not worthy now in and of ourselves since chapter 3 in Adam's decision. We are not worthy in and of ourselves to come before Him and be in His presence. But we have worth and we have value. Not because we're satisfied with the gender we've chosen for ourselves, or we have our dream job, and our dream job isn't skilled labor, but it's some kind of clean hand, make six figures kind of job. That's how we decide value in this country. That's also why we can abort babies and say they're not babies. Because we decide life. No, we don't. No, we don't. But to every man and woman, since he made Adam and Eve, this says this: you have worth. You have value. You are not like the ants. That one's easy. Who here kills ants? We live in Santa Rosa, clay ground. It rains, they come in. It gets hot, they come in. We kill them. What do you do when there's a whole lot of cats in one area? Well, you capture them and you bring them to the shelter. Why? Oh, because you deem them to have a greater value than ants. But actually, all living creatures, right down to the ant, or right up to the cat, or your favorite golden retriever, or your horse, it doesn't have the dignity. It does not have the value, the worth that you have. that the drag queen reading the book to the children has. That the men and women, young and old, passed out in the streets in San Francisco from overdose have. That the unborn ones in the womb have. If you reject this and you do not believe that God made, please follow your beliefs backwards and then forwards to their logical end. Who are you? Why can't I kill you? Why is it okay to kill you before you're born and not after you're born? But to understand this and believe this, to know that this is the truth, is to give everyone that which they are longing for. Oh, I know I have value. That I matter. That there's a dignity in my existence. Some of the hardest things for children who have been adopted is to find out that they were given up for adoption. You're thinking, here you are, with a loving family who has raised you since infancy. That's your mom and dad. But no, there's a sense of wanting to know the biological ones through which he or she came. And why did they give me up? I get that. As much as I can, not being adopted. How much more so will that wreak havoc on our quote-unquote psyche? If we are told you are here because a microscopic speck of matter, energy, mass came into existence by itself and immediately exploded, and here we are. Wow. So I was unplanned and unwanted. Some of the Hebrews are hearing this in the wilderness. This is all going to get back to you shall know their God before me. It'll include laws about a man not lying with a man or with a beast. You shall have no other God before me. Who do they want to worship? Well, what do they worship back in Egypt? The river? The bull? Frogs? No. No. And even though we created his likeness, we're not even to worship ourselves. But that's exactly what we are doing. Like the 5-year-old lecturing the parents on how to run the household, how to deal with the finances. Really? You're sucking your thumb last week. Matter of fact, I caught you doing it again this morning. You thought you lost your toy, you cried and threw a hissy fit. But in our arrogance, we think, well, we've been around for how long? And even then, how'd you get here? Only these precious words, so different than light and plants and animals. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Do we have grounds for saying that human life has value above and beyond animals or ants or plants? It starts there. That's not enough in and of itself. Again, we'll get to that. But what does this mean, image, likeness? I believe that they're not two different words saying two different things, but more so synonyms. And I get that from the text itself. In verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. But then in verse 27, And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So the word image keeps getting repeated. Likeness is left off. But for you to jump to chapter 5, verse 1, he made him, God made him, man, in the likeness of God. The point here is not what's the nuanced difference of each of those words. Are they two different words? Do they express different things? Are they all one and the same? The text speaks for itself. Here's the point. Unlike creepy crawly things, unlike Fido, unlike your houseplant, unlike anything else, man, which means man and woman, mankind, humanity, are like God. And then we go, in what way? Excellent question. God's word tells us right here. Notice what it says again in verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And then watch this. Male and female, he created them. Notice the move from singular to plural? Yes, right. You notice that. Him to them. Male and female. In verse 28, and God blessed them. And then over to chapter 2, verse 24. The animals didn't cut it. But woman, the real deal. Adam's like, yes. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What's going on here? What's being revealed here is that while man is a singular thing, we're supposed to say man, and everyone understood it meant man and woman. Now we have to say humankind, right? While that is referring to a singular, it's a singular that involves a plurality, in this case of two, male and female. And those two that are a plurality, yet make up the one that is man, when those two come together, male and female, as husband and wife, now they're one again, though they're two, they're one. You follow that? Are they the white? What's going on there? Well, wait a minute, we jumped over the us part, and God said, let us make. Without even jumping to the New Testament, there's a plurality going on here in a God who is singular. And even without understanding of that, what's clearly being revealed here is that man bears a likeness to God. And that man involves a plurality, male and female. And then that plurality becomes a singular again when the two become husband and wife and leave their mom and dad. And the two become one flesh. There's a plurality there that involves both a distinction and yet a oneness. Some of you think I'm starting to describe the Trinity. Yeah, there's no third person in this. I'm not saying that. But I am using similar words because that's what's going on here. And what can two have that one can't? Not a rhetorical question. You may speak. Love. Children. Yes. Love. Relationship. We can jump into the New Testament and know that God was not sitting by himself, all alone in his rocking chair, stroking his big gray beard, going, I wish I had others around me to love. No. He has always been us, and yet one. He's always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when it got to man, it's let us make. Not let there be. And not after its own kind, but in our image, in our likeness. And we find out at least two things from the text at hand, and that's the only things that I like to stand on. That which is clear from God's word at hand, is that There's a plurality in the singularness of man that is like the plurality and singularity that there is in God that allows for relationship. Yes, there's male and female in animal kind, and yes, there are some species that mate for life, but in other species, they look a lot more like us these days. And I know we come up with cartoons, you know, Lady and the Tramp, and they love each other. No, they don't. And your favorite pet might miss your other favorite pet when the other pet dies. Yes, they miss them. They miss you when you're gone. And if they're cats, they're snooty when you first get home and they warm up again. If they're dogs, they plow you over. Heck, even my sister's horse did that to her. Play with her like a giant dog. But it cannot have a relationship like men and women can. Like men and women were designed to have. The second thing we see there, so you have something that has to do with sort of their person. There's a plurality. That's to do with their reality that is like God. And the second thing you have, you see, is what they're to do. Their actions. Their dominion. Now, I know, again, in movies and books and stuff, you know, the lion, you know, Simba or whatever that was, the Lion King, rules everyone and has dominion, not true. But to man, made in the likeness, the image of God, in the image of God, he made them male and female. He made them to him alone, male and female, he gave, back to verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 26, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over. So in the person, or the reality, or the existence of man, there is a reflection in who God is, and there being a plurality in the midst of a singleness, a singularity that's a plurality, that means there's relationship. And then, they're to function as little L, lords over all that capital L-O-R-D created. Dominion. Domain. That's how we got here. That's why we have value. Every single person. The unborn and the born. The brain surgeon and the port-a-john pumper that comes to my cul-de-sac every couple weeks to empty that plastic honey bucket thingamajig. The person high on whatever passed out in the street next to their own fecal matter. The boy or girl confused about why they're here, what the purpose is. Maybe changing their gender will fix that. No. It gets back to this. What was God up to in all this? What was his intention? Again, the text makes that very clear. Verse 28, God blessed them. Verse 31, God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was very good. Chapter 2, verse 18, Yahweh God said, it is not good that man should be alone, so make male and female, and that's good. What was God's intention? Good. That which is beneficial. You don't get that from a microscopic speck containing all energy mass somehow coming into existence by itself and almost immediately exploding. And if we were even to follow the logic of quote-unquote science and Darwin, You could not be in same gender relationships and have your species continue. Just like I can't decide now, I'm an Aboriginal man from Australia. But we do. Why? Well, it gets back to where we were last week. It all starts with Genesis 1:1 and Romans 1. If we do not acknowledge God or give thanks to Him, He gives us over to our darkened understanding. Kind of like the loving parents who say to their adult child living with them, who is constantly disrespecting them and doesn't want to abide by the standards or rules of the household, they say, okay, there is the door. You may leave and go live on your own. The door is always open. But in this house, it's our rules and our ways. That's how you get to a point where you have the government and medical officials telling you your gender at birth means nothing. Well, their view on how we got here also says you are worth nothing. And that's why they can get rid of you before you're born. New Jersey just passed law or legislation. Abortion is legal up until birth. And even some who are pro-abortion are going to say, well, that's kind of crazy. Why? Why 3 weeks okay, 9 weeks, 9 months? Why? You've got nothing. There is nothing. If we come from a speck, we're no more valuable than the dust in the bottom of our shoes. But we did not and we have not. You are immersed. Children, you are immersed with this idea all around you and all the time. We came from nothing. We decide. Choosing whatever gender is good. It is not. It is evil and it is detrimental. And women are starting to find that out, aren't they? All of a sudden, women swimmers are being beat by men swimmers. You say, well, why are men swimmers competing against women swimmers? Because the men swimmers are saying, I'm not a man anymore, I'm a woman. Why are women power lifters getting beat by male power lifters? You say, why are they competing together? Because male power lifters are saying, oh, I'm a female. You say, well, surely that will open their eyes. Will it not? No, it will not. It will not open their eyes. Only a work of the Spirit through the Word of God will open their eyes. But what do they say in all this? Whether it's you can have an abortion or you can choose your gender. They say, this is going to make you happy. What if it does? Who are we to say, you know, what if that makes someone happy? Where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? When Joseph says multiple wives will make him happy. When Hindus say child brides will make them happy. Or marrying my daughter to a cobra will make me happy. Even if you look to God's design here, two should become one flesh. Multiply, yes. As soon as I find Mr. or Mrs. Wright, we will live happily ever after. While God's intention is for good, He blessed them. His intention and His design in our existence and our reality and in marriage between a male and a female and only between one male and one female is goodness, we do not automatically have that in the sense that we're looking for it or think about it. So don't misunderstand and think that I'm telling you this morning you are guaranteed a happy life if you marry someone of the opposite gender and have kids. Oh no, it's not that. But I will give you this guarantee. I can give you this guarantee, the flip side. You try and change your gender. You marry someone of the same gender. You will have the opposite of goodness and blessing in this life. That's a promise. So then what? We have to understand, I was looking here in Genesis 1, 2, where do we live? We live after Genesis 3, don't we? Got to jump ahead again. We live after Adam said, no, I want to be like God. Dude, hello? You already sat there and said, man, zebra, that's cool. Doesn't cut it. Giraffe, whoa, okay, yeah, not a suitable helper. You went through all this. You're walking with God in the garden. You not only have a relationship with this one who is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, and you're separate, but you're one, you're plural, you have a relationship, and God walks there with you, you have a relationship with him, you go, I want to be like God. And he eats from the one tree God said, don't. That's what we do every day. Put ourselves in the place of God. But I want to turn you just to one verse that's after chapter 3. That's in Genesis, chapter 50, verse 20, then jump to Romans for just a couple of verses as we close. Genesis 50, boy, really jumping ahead now, right? Till you read a whole book in one sitting, all the way through, you don't understand that book of the Bible. You don't. It's like if I write you a letter and you haven't read the whole thing, you read one little verse in the middle of it, you don't know why I'm writing to you. Genesis, we find Joseph reunited with his brothers. For those of you who don't know what's going on there, his brothers sold Joseph to slavery. They were going to kill him. Then he decided to make some money. They sold him to slavery in Egypt. He spent a lot of years in the pit, literally and figuratively. He's now second to Pharaoh. Daddy's died. The brothers come and say, Joseph, Dad said, why did he lie? Don't make us pay for what we did to you. And here's your theological statement for the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, Joseph says to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You want to know the Hebrew, don't you? Well, the Hebrew word here for good is the same word from chapter 1. It's that which is good, beneficial. You say, how? We don't have to necessarily know that to know it's a good thing. Who here besides Cannon and maybe a couple others can explain why your car stops when you step on the brake pedal? Right. That's a good thing it works though, isn't it? God intended and still does good. There's a taste of that goodness when someone embraces his design, marries the opposite gender, has kids. It's a taste. But the image of God that we've been created in has been defaced. And it needs to be restored. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Going to jump 5 to 6 to 8. 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Over to chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have been united with him, that is with Christ through faith, we've been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you, speaking to the Christian, must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace. Over to chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good. You know what word does there? Good. It means good. It's just a Greek word for good. Just like there's a Hebrew word for good, it means good. That which is beneficial. And we want to stop there and go, that means if I embrace God's plan for husband and wife and children, I'm going to meet Mr. and Mrs. Wright. I'm going to live happily ever after. No, it doesn't. That means if I hold to the truth about gender and I lose my job, he's going to give me a better one and I'm going to make more money. No, it doesn't. Sorry, Anna. It doesn't. That's a lie in evangelicalism that's been around for ages. This is what it says. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whoa, I got bells going off. Image of God. Now it's image of His Son. Why? Because the image in which male and female were created, man was created, has been defaced. We reflect God in the fact that we are a plurality, but the same, have a relationship. Two can become one, and we're to have dominion. But the relationship with God was rebelled against by Adam and broken. And without a right relationship to God, we cannot reflect His likeness. And that's to happen through faith in Christ and God using all things, and those all things include things that are evil in this life, like for Joseph, that we'll be conformed to the image of God's Son. In verses 31 through 39, go through all kinds of things you might face. And to the prosperity gospel people, that passage must not exist. For the passage in Philippians, it says not only has He granted you to believe, but He's also granted you to suffer. Embracing God's design for male and female and husband and wife and procreation will not get you happiness. And actually, there's plenty of Christians out there who have made family an idol. Now, I think what's going on there is a bit of an over-response to what our society is doing to the family. And also a natural human response. We take what God has created and what God has given and we make that God. That's why John has to write to the Christians, and he ends his letter this way: keep yourself from idols. Now, we don't have idols like they had idols, where they created something, you know, a bull, a goat, or whatever, and worshipped it. But at the end of the day, idolatry means worshipping what God created instead of the Creator Himself. And God created marriage, male and female, husband and wife, procreation. You worship that, though that was God's design, you still missed the boat. We all understand that the drug addict is deluded. That which makes him or her happy is destroying them. But so is the acceptance of the idea that gender is a thing of choice. That sexuality is one of feelings and preference. When you go that route, you will have hardship. You will also have no reason to believe that you have value or worth. And we understand that we're not here by an accidental explosion, all by chance. But the triune maker of heaven and earth made us, every one of us, in His image. We have value and worth. But that's not the road to joy and peace. There's only one way for that. Now that the original scenario has been disrupted greatly, and that is through faith in Christ. And even then, not a promise that your heterosexual marriage will be pie in the sky, that your kids will all be born and live, won't have health issues, will all believe in Jesus too. But that whatever goes on in your life as a child of God, all of that is working together so that you look more like Jesus. Reflecting the very character of God. That will allow for, provide for, and bring a peace that passes understanding. And a joy not dependent upon what felt good one minute, but not the next. The answer really is Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation. Whatever country, whatever time. Remember, Genesis was being delivered to the Israelites. They had to be told about the male and female thing. They had to be told, I put the verses in there for you. Leviticus, and then New Testament, Corinthians and 1 Timothy. They had to be told. So do we. But right now, just about everyone around us, our governing authorities, Canada, here, the medical industry is telling us just the opposite. It doesn't matter how loud or how often you repeat something, it doesn't make it true. And their lie is an evil that is causing great harm. What do we do? What do we do? Multitude of options for things that you may or may not do as a Christian to deal with that. But there are some universal ones. First of all, where are you at with the one who made you? I'm good. Church every Sunday. My family takes me. Hey, I'm heterosexual. I'm married, or I want to be married. I'm not like... No. Things are messed up in this world. But peace only comes when there's peace with God, and that's only through Christ. If your faith is in Christ, your sins are forgiven, you're reconciled to God, that does not mean you're not going to struggle with either hetero or homosexual things. But like all that is evil in the eyes of God, and if it's evil, it's not good, and it's not a blessing, we work to put it to death, day in and day out. We don't judge in terms of condemning anyone who's a non-believer and is embracing things that are evil. Nor do we condemn those who are believers who are struggling. To go back to what's true according to the one who made us. And therein we find the only hope. Peace with God. A life lived with all kinds of stuff going on that He's working together for our good in conforming us to the image of Christ. That's reality. Therein is hope. The other? Get you momentary pleasure, lifelong pain, maybe even eternal pain. coming past. Father, the evil lies being told to the extent and the various angles and ways and powers and authorities that are being told and enforced, it seems daunting and overwhelming at first. Particularly, I would think, to the young ones immersed in this by no choice of their own. That's your truth. Your truth is what sets us free. That has never changed and doesn't change. Father, grant each one of us here this morning faith in your Son as our Savior and Lord. Grant us humility, compassion, grace in speaking the truth about gender, about our existence, about the coming day of judgment, about life in Christ to anyone and everyone around us, that we would proclaim your excellencies. That we would proclaim the joy and peace that is found in knowing you as Father through your Son, Jesus, by a work of the Holy Spirit. This we ask according to your mercy in the name of Jesus.